Five states held primary elections yesterday, and both political parties found reasons to celebrate the results. Progressive Democrats made some gains, and so did Republicans, who still deny the results of the 2020 election. Plus, former President Trump's slate of favored candidates had mixed results. In Idaho, his pick for governor lost.
We're going to make stops in three of the states now, starting in Pennsylvania, where progressive Lieutenant Governor John Fetterman won the Democratic nomination for an open Senate seat. WESA Politics and Government Editor Chris Potter joins us from Pittsburgh. Chris, good to have you.
Good to be with you.
So just this week, John Fetterman announced that he had suffered a stroke. It didn't appear to affect the outcome. He easily beat moderate Congressman Connor Lamb. Tell us a bit about this race. Was it a surprise at all?
No, Mr. Fetterman had been leading in polls pretty consistently throughout the course of the race. I think Mr. Lamb knew going into it yesterday that he had an uphill battle to get anywhere. And that's how it turned out. Mr. Fetterman won with just about 60% of the vote compared to about 25-26% for Mr. Lamb.
Right. Now, on the Republican side of the Senate race, celebrity Dr. Mehmet Oz, who was endorsed by Donald Trump, is narrowly holding a narrow lead over former hedge fund manager David McCormick. But the race is too close to call. When are we likely to know the result here?
I wouldn't expect it today or tomorrow. It's going to be several days. There are a lot of mail-in ballots still out there. It's kind of ironic that Republicans, as much as they've complained about mail-in balloting in Pennsylvania and elsewhere, mail-in ballots may decide this race. There are thousands of them out there. It's not clear how many. There have been some issues with difficulty scanning ballots in Lancaster County, which is a heavily Republican area. So there is a lot to sort through. And as you say, Dr. Oz leads Mr. McCormick by only about like 1,400 votes at this point. So it is very tight.
Very tight indeed. So this is a key race that could determine which party ends up controlling the U.S. Senate that's currently split 50-50. How hard fought will this Senate race be between John Fetterman and the eventual Republican nominee?
I'm almost afraid to find out, if I'm honest with you. certainly on the Republican side, it has been bruising. The ads waging the battle between Mr. McCormick and Dr. Oz have been intense. You can't even enjoy an episode of Jeopardy anymore, almost. It has just been brutal. And as you say, this is a key battleground here. It is a rare opportunity for Democrats to pick up a seat because this is the seat formerly held by Pat Toomey, a Republican. So there's not a lot of opportunities like this. And it's a key one for Democrats. And of course, Republicans would like to hold on to it.
Right. Now, in the GOP primary for governor, State Senator Doug Mastriano won in a crowded field. President Trump endorsed Mastriano, who is an election denier. Here he is speaking after his victory.
So our number one goal is to restore freedom, right? So on day one, any mandates are gone.
Yeah. Very quickly, Mastriano will face Democrat and State Attorney General John Shapiro in the general election. Tell us what's on the line for Pennsylvania in this race.
Well, I mean, right off the bat, abortion rights clearly are a big deal. And Josh Shapiro has been very, very vocal about saying, I am the lone gubernatorial candidate who will protect abortion rights in the state. And obviously, we expect a decision from the U.S. Supreme Court overturning Roe v. Wade. Senator Mastriano very much opposed to abortion rights. You know, election procedures as well. As you say, Senator Mastriano has denied the results of the 2020 election. He was there on January 6th during the insurrection. So we have a very, very marked difference between these two candidates here. And, you know, I mean, Senator Mastriano is critical of you know, critical race theory, a lot of other kind of stuff that are sort of on that right wing playbook is stuff he's talking about and will continue to talk about.
Well, interesting races to watch. Chris Potter, politics and government editor at WESA in Pittsburgh. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Well, to North Carolina now, where the youngest member of Congress, Madison Cawthorn, lost his bid for re-election, even though he had Donald Trump's endorsement. WUNC politics reporter Jeff Tabiri joins us. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Jane.
So what went wrong with Madison Cawthorn's re-election bid? A lot of bad headlines and some bad blood with members of Congress.
I'm not sure we have time to recount all of the things that have gone wrong, right? A lot of it has been recent. Some of it has been, or a lot of it has been self-inflicted. To some degree, it began with the insurrection. It began on January 6th, just days into his congressional incumbency. And more recently, there have been comments about Volodymyr Zelensky, the Ukrainian president, being a thug. He made this reference to there being cocaine-filled orgies on Capitol Hill, which pretty much everybody quickly denounced and said that that's false. That's fictitious. That's not a real thing. What he did was alienate himself. And he did it with Republicans. He did it with Democrats. He did it with enough constituents in North Carolina's 11th congressional district that he was upset in this first ever reelection bid by a Republican state senator.
So what can you tell us about the man who beat Cawthorn, Chuck Edwards? Same politics, less baggage?
In a word, yes. And that's a good way to put it. He is a staunch conservative. He is he's significantly older. He's more than 30 years older than Cawthorn. He's a three-term member of the North Carolina State Senate. From a personality standpoint, he's perhaps diametrically opposed or diametrically different than Cawthorn. This is not someone who's going to run to Twitter or Instagram. He's not particularly affable or gregarious, and he's very different than Cawthorn when it comes to this kind of this optics and this retail politics framing, which I think is going to be a welcome change for a lot of people in that constituency.
All right, let me ask you about the GOP Senate primary. Congressman Ted Budd parlayed a surprise Trump endorsement into a victory over his closest rival, Pat McCrory, the former governor. What does it tell you that someone as well known as McCrory lost?
It underscores just how much the Republican Party has moved here in the last 6 years, right? This is someone who was easily elected to the governorship 10 years ago, lost a re-election bid in 2016 by less than 11,000 votes to the current Governor, Democrat Roy Cooper. And McCrory was seen as the front runner about a year ago in this race. Then the surprise endorsement, which you mentioned from Trump last June. What followed was a lot of money from the conservative super PAC Club for Growth, and McCrory basically just sank in the polls. This is someone who has been portrayed in recent months as a liberal. Trust me, I've been here long enough. Pat McCrory is not a liberal. And this is really kind of an unceremonious and ungraceful end to a long and mostly successful career in politics. Mm.
And in November, Budd will face former state Supreme Court Justice Sherry Beasley, who, if she wins, would become North Carolina's first black senator. Quickly, in about 10 seconds. How's that race expected to go?
And just the third black female senator in the history of the U.S. Senate. This might be one of the most expensive U.S. Senate races in American history.
Jeff Tiberi covers politics for WUNC in North Carolina. Thanks so much, Jeff.
You're very welcome.
Finally, let's touch down in Oregon, where a progressive appears to be on the verge of knocking out a long-serving centrist Democratic member of Congress, and where Republicans think they have their best shot in years to take the governor's office. Joining us now is Oregon Public Broadcasting politics and government reporter Dirk Vanderhart. Dirk, good to have you.
Hey, thanks, Anthony.
So the votes are still being counted, but seven-term Blue Dog Democrat Kurt Schrader is trailing progressive Jamie McLeod Skinner in the race for Congress. Schrader had President Biden's endorsement. Is this a referendum on Biden, or was Schrader just out of step with a new district?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a couple things here. You're right. Schrader has a new district this year. A big piece of Central Oregon that he had never campaigned in before is now part of his district. And that is a piece of the state that Jamie McLeod Skinner had done a lot of campaigning in over the years. So she had a pretty robust base there. But he's also done a lot to sort of shoot himself in the foot. Schrader, in January of 2021, called the second impeachment of President Trump a lynching. That got him a lot of heat. He's opposed Biden on a number of high-profile issues, even though the president has supported him in this race. So the progressive wing of the party is really railing against him, saying he is not the person they think should support them, and that seems to be coming home to roost. We don't know, though, the outcome of the race yet.
All right. Well, let's move on to the governor's race, which is also attracting some attention. Current Governor Kate Brown, a progressive, is term limited. Former Speaker of the State House Tina Kotek won the Democratic primary. If she wins in November, she'd become the first openly lesbian governor elected in the nation. Tell us something about Tina Kotek.
Yeah, Tina Kotek is really the progressive candidate this year. There had been some question about whether Democrats wanted a more centrist candidate. They proved pretty definitively last night that They do not. Tina Kotek spent 9 years atop the State House of Representatives, and she passed just a lot of progressive bills in that time. You know, minimum wage increases, environmental protections, abortion protections, importantly. So she really has the establishment power and support in a state that has not elected a Republican for governor in 40 years and is looking to have some strength going into November. But there are questions, as you suggested, about Democrats this year, just because of some interesting dynamics in this race.
Right. So tell us a little bit about the state of play on the Republican side and why they think they have their best shot in years in that race. We've got about 30 seconds left, but give us your best shot there.
Yeah. Huge incumbent, a tough race for incumbents. People are thinking Republicans are going to ride that energy. And then there is a extremely well-funded third-party candidate, a former state senator, who is looking to sort of split the difference. Republicans think that she can scrape enough votes from Democrats that they will have their first chance at the governor's office, as I say, in about 35 years.
Really interesting. Dirk Vanderhart is politics and government reporter for Oregon Public Broadcasting, talking about races there. Dirk, thanks so much.
Yeah, my pleasure.